setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. You have joined a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and then how to get there. In short, it is about your purpose. And I can tell you, even if I've never met you, that your purpose is to use what you do best, your talent, to do work you love, your passion, to produce results that matter deeply to you, mission. When talent, passion, and mission are in alignment, you are on purpose. You are doing what you were created to do. We were created to work. In other words, created to contribute. That's why we long to make a difference in the lives of others. We've got to stop looking at work as this thing we do to live. How about the idea that we live to work? In other words, we live to contribute, to do what we were created to do. So therefore, it's not about us. It's about everybody else being who we were designed to be for the benefit of somebody else. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. So we're getting a lot more questions about, hey, Ken, I'm getting promoted, which is stage five of my seven stages to doing what you were born to do. But I'm not ready to lead, or I don't know if I'm ready to lead, or Ken, how do I lead? Because here's the reality. When you get promoted, almost every time that you get promoted, it is leading to an opportunity to lead. Some people call it management. At Ramsey Solutions, we call it leading. So for many people, it's a real source of stress, of worry. I haven't led before. Ken, how do I lead? I don't have any experience. But I mean, given this opportunity, I don't know if I can lead. So I want to address that very real emotion. And I want to take the pressure off. So I want to talk about that. So what do you do when you don't feel like you're ready to lead? Okay, I got breaking news for you. You're not ready. So here we go. Ken, I'm thinking you should check your production notes. I'm not sure you accomplished what you wanted to accomplish right there. No, I did. The first time you lead, or in times where you get thrust into leadership beyond your current experience, I got news for you. You're not ready to lead. By the way, I don't think you're ever ready to be a parent either. I got three teenagers. Let me tell you what I'm not ready for. I'm not ready to parent teenagers, and I'm smack in the middle of it. It's not about being ready. It's about doing it, period. It's not about being ready. You know, I am a history buff, history nerd, and I love military history as well. And if you've ever watched a military movie, something like Saving Private Ryan or whatever, doesn't matter. I've had the opportunity to interview generals. I've had the opportunity to interview people who have led in battle. And let me tell you something. When the commanding officer dies in the heat of battle, there is a chain of command. There's a chain of command. We're in the foxhole right next to our leader. I'm having a conversation with the leader. He's yelling orders. I'm doing it. And 1 second later, boom, dead. What do they do? What do they do in this moment? What are they trained to do? Do they all just go, oh, our leader's dead. I'm next person up. I'm next in the chain of command, but I'm not ready. Put the guns down. Get out the white flag. We surrender. Is that what they do? It's next man up, next woman up. There's a chain of command. It's not about being ready to lead. It's being willing to lead. Are you ready? Most of the time, no. But are you willing? Oh, now we're getting somewhere. So you say, Ken, I'm not ready to lead. I don't care. Are you willing to lead? Yes. How do I do that? Let me simplify all that you need to do as a new leader. Don't overcomplicate it. You know, two things you need to do as a new leader. Number one, love people. Just care deeply for people. So this is a spirit. This is an emotion. This is a posture. You go, look, I'm not ready to lead. I'm willing to lead. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love the people. I'm going to love them. I'm going to care for them. They're people. They're humans. I'm going to love them. And if you love somebody, if you care for somebody, you will serve them. I mean, come on, parents. Let's rewind from my current state of parenting, although it's exhausting in its own way. Do you remember those days when you got no sleep? Kids crying all night, colic, teeth, just cranky, who knows what? You're exhausted. You're up all night. That baby starts crying again for something the next morning. You haven't slept in days, weeks. You feel as though you are a living mummy. Does anybody have to tell you? You need to take care of that baby. Nobody has to tell you that. You serve the baby. Why? You love the baby. So leadership is exhausting. It's lonely. It's terrifying. It's all the things. But if you love your people and you care about them and you choose to do that, by the way, then you will serve them. It's not serve them, then love them. No, just decide, I'm going to love them. See, love's a decision. I could have married many, many different women. I chose to love Stacy. So I serve Stacy. That's it. It's a decision. Love your people, because that's what leaders are supposed to do. You're supposed to care for them. And then serve them. So how do you serve them? Individually. I don't know how you parents serve your kids, but I serve each of my three kids differently because each of my three kids have different needs, different personalities. So leadership is not so complicated. Is it hard? It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Parenting is the hardest thing I'll ever do. It's hard. Why? Because we are, as a parent or as a leader, we are leading humans. And humans are imperfect. Humans are exhausting. So is leadership complicated? No. Is it hard? Yes. But let's simplify it. Until you really learn to lead, which, by the way, all I'm doing is giving you the starter kit. For those of you that are going, Ken, I don't know if I'm ready to lead. No, you're not, but you still can. It's not about being ready. It's about being willing. And let me tell you what you can do as you begin to learn. Because leadership is a learned skill. So you can listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast, which is the best leadership podcast in the world. It's a Ramsey Solutions program. And listen to that. You can read leadership books like Entree Leadership. You can read other leadership books. You can go to leadership conferences. You can learn the skill of leadership. But in the trenches, when you get called next man up, next woman up, you just must be willing to lead. And that just means I must be willing to love my team, my people, and I must be willing to serve them. And serving them is helping them win. Stop making it so freaking complex. Help them win. How can I help you win? That's serving them. And you serve them because you love them. You're ready, even though you're not ready. This is the Ken Coleman Show. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, helping you get unstuck, helping you get on purpose, helping you do the work that you have always wanted to do so that you can accomplish the dreams you've always dreamed about. We're going to help you go from paycheck to purpose. by giving you a clear path to work that you were created to do. 844-747-2577. Hey, one of our, it's actually the most inexpensive resource we have at KenColeman.com in the store, is the resume templates. We created a never-before seen or used resume template. I just flipped the script because I thought, why not? Who cares? This is the way a resume should be. We flipped the order of it from what every other template you've ever seen. So it was very popular. So we created 6 templates based on this resume guide, which is free, by the way. The resume guide is free at KenColeman.com. So you ready for this? $9.99. You get 6 customizable resume templates, instructions for how to build it, and the 10 do's and don'ts of job applications. And this is from our Ramsey Solutions recruiters. They're giving you the tips. It's fantastic. So go to KenColeman.com/store, KenColeman.com/store. If you want 6 different templates to make those resumes look really fresh, have all different looks and feels based on the type of gig you're going for, and give yourself some real standout opportunities by the way your resume looks. KenColeman.com/store. All right, to the phones we go. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Cecil joins us now in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Cecil, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Coleman?
Cecil, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Awesome. Yes, sir. Living the dream as well. Thank you for taking my call today.
You bet. What's up?
All right, sir. So back in January, my grandfather passed away. He was definitely the patriarch of the family. He loved the Lord.
I'm so sorry.
He loved the church. He was Mr. Fix-It. He was the plumber. He was the technician. He was the mechanic. He was just a wonderful person. And, you know, my grandmother was definitely blessed to be in a position where she never had to really work unless she wanted to. My grandfather took care of everything. She just had to be a wife, a mother, you know,
sure. Take
care of the home and everything. So my question, Mr. Coleman, today is how do I guess, pick up the mantle and lead my family where my grandfather left off?
Okay. Tell me what that actually means. So are you taking over the business? Is there a family business? Explain that to me as far as what he was doing and what you would be stepping into.
Yes,
or is this just relational?
Business.
Is this just a relational question?
Relational, yes, sir. Just like I said, okay. I guess stepping up to fulfill. I know that I can never fulfill his shoes.
Sure.
I can't do that. But you know, just in general, you know, just being a leader of the family, stepping up to a patriarch position,
yeah.
You know, the religious, you know, head of the family and everything. How do I just pick up where he left off and, you know, be the next man up for the family?
Yeah, good for you, young man. Good for you. What a good question. And I think you've kind of answered your own question. I think in what you asked me, I think therein lies the answer. When you ask a question like, how do I pick up where my grandfather left off? So we first must go, where did he leave? What did he leave? He left a legacy of, you said, spiritual leader. There are probably 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 10, who knows, major areas of contribution that if you look at your family and you look at your grandfather and how he met needs, how he led, where he led, as you reflect, and I think you've probably spent a lot of time doing this, you must go back to where did he leave off? When my grandfather passed and went into eternity, what left with him? And when you can answer that question, and don't make it super detailed, think big picture, then you go, then I'm going to step up. So if it's spiritual leadership, if that doesn't exist anymore because he left, boom, there's one. Taking care of your grandmother, that left with him, boom, there's another one, step up.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So don't overthink this. I think it's a great question, but I want you to know that you actually know the answer better than I do, because I did not have the tremendous privilege and honor that you had to live with this man, this great man who had tremendous influence on you. So that's the what. That's the what you do. You look to not replace him, but you look to honor him, and you look to provide in areas that are now a void, where there's a void, where his presence, his contribution is gone and it needs something. Then you step in and do it to the best of your ability. That's the what you do.
Okay.
Now the how is what you asked. but I wanted to cover the what. By the way, okay. are you tracking with me? Am I making sense to you? Is that helping you?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you're filling the gaps already. Your brain's been filling gaps the whole time I'm talking, right?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. So that's what you do to replace your grandfather's leadership. But the how you do it is really important. There's two parts to this. Number one, I want you to do it the way you would do it. It needs to be, you know, if you live in the shadow of your grandfather, then that's not going to be healthy. But what you can do is say, all right, I'm going to do it. This is the way I would do it, but I'm honoring how he would do it. He would provide leadership here. He would speak up in this situation. And this is what he would basically do. Now, I'm going to do it my way because I can only do it my way. I can't imitate him, but I can emulate him.
Right.
And so I think the how is you do it your personal style that only you can bring, Cecil. You're Cecil. However, you think, what would he do and what would he provide? And so that's how I'm going to lead. I'm going to attempt to be the leader in this area, but I am going to do it. I'm going to do it as I'm doing it, but I'm going to honor the way he did it. So okay, you may not pray sense. Exactly the way he prays. You may not give the same style of advice, but if you're giving the same advice, that's what I'm saying. So don't lose your identity there. Know that he's very proud of you and that he poured into you and he's influenced you. And so you honor that, but you still do it your way. The best example I could give you is Dave Ramsey's had a huge impact on me, obviously. Okay.
Right.
I mean, Dave's had huge impact on me personally and professionally. So Dave and I could get the same question in a room. And I would, in areas where he's influenced me, if it's a money question, I'm going to answer it the way that I believe, to the best of my ability, what Dave has taught me on a financial thing, okay? That's not my expertise. But my point is, I'm still going to give the answer the way I would give it. Does that make sense?
Mm, yes, sir.
Yeah. So, proud of you. And I'm sorry for your loss. But let me tell you something.
Thank you.
This is a big moment in your life, and you know it. And that's why you called. There's an opportunity for you and your family need your leadership. So honor him, honor him. And it's okay to walk around all day long going, what would granddaddy do? Or what would grandpa do? Or whatever you called him. What would he do? How would he do it? Okay. I think this is how he'd do it. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, my way. And I think you do that, you're not going to fail. Really proud of you. Thank you for the call, Cecil. I love that. Let's go. Let's see. We're up against a break here, so we'll hold on that. I tell you what I'm going to do. I talked about this in the YouTube show, so I want to lay this out really, really quickly. We have so many calls that come in and so many questions about, Ken, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. So this is not somebody who's going, I know what I want to do, but I don't know how to get there. They're going, I don't know if I'm supposed to move this or not. Now, we have a great resource called Should I Quit My Job Quiz. It's free at kencolman.com, and it's going to spit out four different scenarios. One is I'm in the right role and I'm in the right place, because we always look at role and place. Am I doing the right job? Am I fitting in the right seat of the bus? And am I doing it on a bus that I want to be on, right? That's role and place. So one is right role, right place. Great. Ding, 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 ding. It's where you want to be. You're moving up the ladder. Right? Even if it's not a sweet spot, you're going right role, right place. The other one is, well, I'm in the right role, wrong place. I'm doing the right work, but it's an awful culture. It's an unhealthy culture. It's not a fabulous culture. Okay. The other option is I'm in the right place, but wrong role. So I love the place, love the culture, but I'm not doing the right job. And then finally, wrong role, wrong place. Ugh, got to get out. It's a great resource. Go get it. KenColeman.com, and then call me. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us as we talk about you, your talent, your passion, your mission, your contribution. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. 2577. All right, how many of you out there have been listening to the program? You're going, man, I'd like to do more than a phone call. I'd like to do a coaching session with you, Ken. Well, we've opened some spots back up. We did raise the price because it's limited. I can't do it as much as I actually would like to, given the responsibilities. But for those of you who are able to do this, it's a limited opportunity. We're going to do three coaching sessions for $2,400. Three coaching sessions for $2,400, that's still a steep discount of what I would charge if I was just doing this all the time. It's a 50% discount. Normally be about $4,800. We do it for $2,400, so it's $800 per session. KenColeman.com/coaching. KenColeman.com/coaching. And again, we're going to work on a plan. We do it via Zoom. We record it for you so you can have it and go back and watch the session and see areas where you responded well, or review homework, things of that nature. And it is a lot of fun. So if you're interested, KenColeman.com/coaching. You can book your first session right there. KenColeman.com/coaching. All right, let's go to the phones. Brian is in Detroit, Michigan. Brian, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so very much for taking the call, and thank you for having me. I do have a few questions. So okay. I am a remote employee. I'm in the tech industry. I travel quite a bit for work. I put more than 40, sometimes 60 hours just traveling, and I'm salaried. So I work on a product, let's call it X, and I have a manager who works on a product, let's call it Y. Then my boss's boss is basically trying to pull me from whatever I do and giving me more jobs into doing what my manager does without even asking me whether I want to take the responsibility. And they're not even discussing a raise. They're not discussing promotion. They're even telling me to cancel some of the jobs that I already had planned with job X. Mind you, those are people who actually pay us for us to go out there and provide that service for them. So I've been with this company a little over 3 years. I've had three bosses so far, no progression. I've had raises, but no progression whatsoever. Every time I bring up progression, they kind of put it under the rug. So I would like to get some wisdom from you, please.
Yeah. I don't know how wise this is, but it's dead on accurate. You need to start looking for something else. You're too good. You have too much experience, too much expertise to keep putting up with horrible leadership. There is no future for you with these folks. And that's already been made very apparent based on the history you just gave me. And you continuing to hope for something to change is not the right strategy. It's not going to change. They're horrible leaders. It sounds like awful, awful leadership. And they are taking advantage of you. And I don't know that they care. So I would stay in the job unless you can walk today financially. If you can last 3 to 6 months and not have to, you know, live off an emergency fund, and you got enough cash set aside, that would be the only way I'd tell you to leave today. But I would start looking today. You need to be in an organization where they value you.
Understood. I'm actually in a position where I have a second job, and that second job is very flexible to the hours that I work, that I make pretty much the same amount of money that I make from the first job.
Oh,
so
I tell
I
these
can
guys
walk away now.
Yeah, I tell them to pound sand. That's what I would do.
Okay,
I'm joking. I'm joking. I got to stipulate here. I'm a little irritated on your behalf. I'd walk in today. Yeah. I'd resign today. You give them 2 weeks. Be classy. Never blow up a bridge. But I would resign today or tomorrow. I don't care. But I'd resign.
Understood. I'm actually even under, you know, I'm in a position where I can open up my own company and service those people, and they would hire me in a heartbeat since I know what I'm doing.
Are you in a non-compete?
I am in a non-compete, yes.
So you can't do that?
Actually, I am not. No. I'm sorry, let me take that back. I did not sign any agreement with a company telling them that I cannot do that on my own later
on. Okay, good. I just wanted to check that for you. So, because what I don't want you to do is get sued and, you know, unnecessarily. So I would tell you this, be very, very careful.
Okay.
How you do that. You didn't sign a non-compete, but that doesn't mean you can't still be a jerk and set yourself up, because here's what you don't want to do. You don't ever want to create an enemy if you don't have to. Now, these people sound like really bad leaders, so they're probably going to be, they're probably going to be a little irritated, maybe immature and vengeful. Who knows? Spiteful. Who knows? Anyway, I don't know. But you still want to leave with honor. What I would do is is communicate to all your people that you take care of, hey, listen, I'm going over here. It's time for me to move on and start my own thing. Oh, great. And don't sit there and say, hey, I'll take care of you. Don't poach them. You just tell them where you're going. And if they want to reach out to you, if you can ever be of help to them, let them know. But I'd stop there. I wouldn't go so far as to talk to them and try to steal any clients. That's never a good thing. But now if they find you on their own because they like working with you, and all of a sudden they're like, man, Brian was the guy. Brian's gone. I'm going to call Brian. That's one thing.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you for the call. 844-747-2577. Evan is up next in Indianapolis, Indiana. Evan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I have a full-time career, and I also have a really small side gig, like word of mouth, kind of a couple jobs every couple months. So yeah. I'm super passionate about the side gig, and I'd love to grow it into something else. I want to use the proximity principle, but I have a really small social circle. Most of my friends are connected to my full-time career, and I'm afraid that if I start trying to use those people to make connections and network, rumors might start. And obviously, I can't afford to jeopardize my full-time job. So do you have recommendations for ways that I can work that proximity principle with a small friend group that's made up of coworkers?
Yes, expand your friend group.
Okay.
Next call, please. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you know, you're laughing because you're like, yeah, Ken, I know that. But I mean, that's exactly the problem. You need to get intentional to meet more people, start making connections. It's like calling me up going, Ken, how do I meet people? That's essentially what you're asking me. Are you kidding me right now? You need me to tell you how to meet people? Really?
So do you think I should avoid using those coworkers to do networking then? Is that an unsafe plan?
I got to trust your judgment on that. I mean, you're concerned that if you ask for some connections, they're going to start going, why do you want the connection? And then you're going to be in this corner where you would have to reveal too much, at which point they'd start talking behind your back, and then the leaders find out about it and fire you. That's your worry. I don't know if that's a legitimate worry or not, so I can't comment on it other than to say you dig into that a little bit more. I mean,
well, I do know that my boss supports me, and he's told me he wants me to explore things that make me happy is kind of that.
Yeah,
stuff,
but that doesn't mean we go to the boss and go, hey, can you make some connections because I'm taking you up on it, I'm going to leave. No, don't do that.
Sure.
But I'm talking about your, let's talk about your coworkers for a second, okay? If you're asking them to connect you to somebody, is there a way for you to say, hey, do you know somebody over here? Do you know this person? Could you connect me without them going, hey, why do you want to be connected? And you going, I'm getting ready to leave. Isn't there a way to do that without revealing all that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, it all depends on what we're saying. But it's like, hey, I'd love to pick this person's brain. I'd love to meet them. Do you have to tell them every reason why?
Yeah, I guess not. I hadn't thought of that.
Okay, I don't know. I'm telling you, that's what you got to think about.
Sure.
But let me tell you what your problem is. Your problem is that you're not being intentional enough to make connections.
Okay.
You should not be saying to me, Ken, I have a very limited scope of friendships. The only people I'm friends with are the people I work with. Well, gee whiz, man, that kind of makes me sad. I feel like I want to throw you a party. I think I want to throw a party for meeting Evan. Let's have a, hey, everybody come meet Evan party. Like, that's because I don't know why you've limited your scope of relationships, but if you want to expand opportunities, you must expand your relationships. I wrote an entire book on it. You're familiar with it, sounds like to me.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll start meeting new people, dude.
Okay.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I met with my team this morning about this. We're coming up with a resource that's going to be free for people to really use the web of connections that I write about in the last section of the book, The Proximity Principle. Folks, go buy it. Read it. Go get intentional to meet people and not a vampire sucking the blood out of people for any connection and opportunity they have. No, genuinely meet people. Connect. Opportunities are waiting on the other side. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Fresno, California. And Kristen joins us there. Kristen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Hey, Ken. So to make a long story short, I have a really strong feeling that I'm about to get fired from my job. And just to not really say what the reason was, is basically I wasn't really following procedures. And there's been a file against me. It's been, filed a little investigation. I found out through other means. A coworker told me, and we probably weren't supposed to say that. But anyways, I'm just planning for the worst. The worst case scenario is I get fired. What I'm really calling about isn't really that I'm too worried about getting fired, because what I work in is a pretty replaceable job. I've 25 right now, going on 26. Ever since I graduated high school back when I was 17, I've kind of been just working, minimum wage jobs, and I worked my way up in one where I'm a manager now, and it's like not that hard to replace. That's not what worries me. What really upsets me is that, like, I'm 25, like I said. I feel like I should be doing something more, like something more that matters, more, I guess, even just, I don't really want to say this part, but I guess more respectable work, don't really want to work these types of jobs anymore. That's what I was going to ask.
Don't get upset.
What advice would you give me, somebody like me?
First advice is I would take this opportunity to actually say, you know what? This was the kick out of the nest that I needed. I've just been floating along like a tumbleweed. You know what a tumbleweed is? You ever seen one of those Western movies or shows?
I live in a place where you see those all the time.
That's right. Fresno. My gosh. Dude, you have been a tumbleweed. I don't say that to get on you. I don't say that to discourage you. I say that to wake you up.
Right.
This is your opportunity. Nobody wants to get fired. I hope you don't get fired. But if you do get fired, because you're calling today to go, whether I get fired or not, today's the day we decide. No more tumbleweed. I'm not going to let the winds of life blow me around. I'm going to figure out what I was created to do. And you've been listening to my show for how long?
Probably a month.
Yeah, so honestly, you're new.
I kind of just discovered you.
Yeah, you're new to me. So we start with talent, passion, mission. What are you really good at? What work do you love? You've wondered about it. If you've never done it, you've certainly wondered about it. What results do you want to create in this world? Now, let's just have some fun. You've probably heard me do this. Christian, forget qualification, forget how much money, forget how you get there. What would you try tomorrow as a 25-year-old man who I'm fairly certain has laid awake at some point in his life, or driving, or in the shower, or on the treadmill, in a moment of mundane activity, you're going, I wonder what it would like to do this. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail and you didn't have to commit the rest of your life to it? What would you do?
Honestly, I have given thought of that. I would honestly be if I knew I couldn't fail, if I knew, you guaranteed me everything, I would honestly just be a financial advisor. The reason why I say that is, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
No, I started to interrupt you because you're making all kinds of excuses right there. Well, Ken, if I honestly, I know you're honest. You're just not being honest with yourself. Why would you be a financial advisor? In 20 seconds or less, tell me why you would love to be a financial advisor.
Just because I've always been into finance. That's actually how I got into you. I discovered you through Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
I've always been into personal finance. And every time, like I said, I'm 25. I work with young kids since I work in these types of jobs. And whenever they come to me hey, what should I do with this? I just have so much fun explaining to them do this and do that.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself one day, why don't I just do that?
Why don't you do that?
No.
Why don't you do that? You're asking yourself. Now I'm asking you. Why aren't you doing it? Say it.
Just because I've been putting it off, I guess.
Because you're scared.
I'll get to it.
You're putting it off.
Yeah, I'm scared.
You're scared.
You're right.
Let me ask you a question.
You're right.
Are you good with numbers?
Very. At least I think so.
All right. Now stop. See, that's doubting Christian. I need confident Christian.
Yes.
Are you good with numbers?
Yes, I am good with.
Thank you.
I'm very good with numbers.
Are you good with people?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. So guess what?
Yeah.
That's the only talent. That's the only talent you need. Good with numbers, understanding finances, and you do. And then you got to be good with people because you're a coach. That's what you're doing. You're coaching people on their finances and how to invest and how to save.
Where I work is I'm a manager, and part of my biggest thing is training, and it's something I really take seriously.
So there you go. So Christian, listen to me. You're clear. you're out of stage one right now. You're moving to stage two. Get qualified. Find out what it takes to get qualified in California. Go get qualified. Get connected while you're getting qualified and become a financial advisor. Don't look back. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. Honored to have you with us as we talk about you and your unique contribution to this world through your work. In other words, working on purpose is also living on purpose. What were you created to do? What's that dream job? Is it possible to get there? The answer is yes. And I'm going to show you how. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland, where Natalie joins us on the line. Natalie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. What's up?
Hi. So I wanted to ask you, I want to look for a new job, but I also have a desire to go to seminary, and I'm not sure which one to focus on first. And so I wanted to see if you thought that I should focus on like my next career step, or if you think that now is a good time to pursue seminary.
Okay, so I'm a little that's interesting. So seminary and your future career are not connected at all?
They might be. I would love them to be, but I'm not sure.
Okay, tell me more about the two options. So what's the career, the dream, the purpose you're going for there?
I'm still figuring that out. I went to school for history, and I've been working in museums. And when I was in school, working in museums was always the dream. But I'm not really.
Okay, well, let's go back.
I'm not liking.
All right, so, but you gave me two options. I just need to know what the two are. So, career versus seminary. Okay. What's the career that you're considering?
I thought about doing like social media and going into marketing.
Why? I don't understand how that's connected to always wanting to work in museums. That's something that comes from somewhere. And then seminary that's a whole nother deal. Like, is that just because you want deeper theological knowledge for your personal spiritual life? Or is there some type of ministry implication to that?
So it's definitely a passion of mine, learning theology and talking about it with people. I could definitely see in the future, like maybe running a social media account or doing something with a ministry. And helping them get their message out.
Oh, okay. So, but you can see how I was that social media marketing thing was so out of left field. So it's kind of it's like if social media marketing in seminary work, or in the Christian space and biblical worldview, and so you want to be knowledgeable so that you can be better at that role, then I would say go to the field, get in the field and get the experience. And then seminary is whenever you can afford it and when you have time for it. So I don't really come up with the timeline you do, but the criteria are, can I afford it? Meaning I can cash flow my way through it, because we're not going to tell you to do it, you know, via a loan. And then do I have the time to put into it? Because seminary is intense.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, but if ultimately you do want to do social media marketing, but in a evangelical or Christian space, then that makes a lot of sense. But if you still got this nagging pull, and I don't mean nagging in a negative way, but this, it's not going away, this whole museum thing, that I wouldn't ignore that either. But I'm just curious, is that still there?
Yes and no. Like I wanted to go into museums because I really wanted to help people learn about history and to find it fun and all of that. But I haven't been able to do that. And so I don't know. I've been thinking that maybe theology is an area where I can still do that, is, you know, help people understand it better. And
is there a history? Is there a biblical history component to this theology as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So give me an example of an organization that if I called them today, I said, hey, let me tell you about my friend Natalie. She's awesome. She wants to do social media marketing for you. Who would you go work for?
I would love to work for a podcast called Journey Women or Relatable with Allie Beth Stuckey.
Okay. Why?
Because I love what they do. I love how they are helping people understand the Bible better and helping them think critically about it and educating people.
So there's the destination.
Okay.
Am I right?
Okay.
I'm not saying just those organizations. I'm saying that kind of work. If that's your dream job, am I right or am I wrong?
You're right.
Yeah, why? Because the same reason, see, that's where the museum thing comes back. There's the connection.
Yeah.
You love learning and you love sharing what you've learned. True or false?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Uh-oh, uh-oh, did you hear that, everybody? She went, uh-huh. Somebody says, uh-huh. That means I finally hit the heart.
Yeah.
So keep it simple.
Okay.
I love learning and I love sharing. Instructing with that knowledge. That's the jam for you. See, learning is work. You're a professional learner, but you don't want to just learn it for you. You want to share it as well. So the learning and instructing, I'm going to use those two words just to keep it simple. That hit your heart.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Your heart just went nuts just now. So you, whether it's social media or marketing or not, that's up to you. But the job better be allowing you to learn and to share / instruct whatever based on what you're learning. Seminary, as it can help you do that better, then that's a viable option if you can afford it and if you have the time to do it. But I don't think there's this big rush to get into seminary again, unless you've got the money ready to go and you got the time to do it. But as far as professional direction, it could be any number of type of jobs, as long as you're in your sweet spot and you know what you do best. We didn't go through that. Don't need to, because you know the work you love. You want to be a professional learner and a professional instructor, guide, whatever. That's what you want to do. You want to illuminate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it is again. We got two of them out of her.
Yeah.
So that's the direction you need to get. That's where you need to go. Okay.
Okay.
You got
this.
Thank you. Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
Really proud of you. Thanks for the call. 844-747-2577. Let's see if we can get Sarah in here real quick. Sarah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hey, I've only got about 2 minutes, but I think I can help you in 2 minutes. Let's try. What's up?
Okay, let's go for it. So I actually am interested in doing a career change, but the career change requires time prep. And my current job requires a lot of overtime. So I just want to get some, insight as far as how to navigate that.
Yeah. How many hours a week do you think you need to prep to get qualified to get the new job?
Okay. So at least, so it's physical fitness related, and you have to be able to pass certain tests and requirements.
Yeah.
So that's that we're looking at least, like 2 to 3 hours a day if I wanted to expedite it and so forth.
All right. So let's say that's 21 hours a week. Yes.
Yep.
7 days, 3 hours a day, 21 hours. And by the way, you don't have to have these exactly. I'm giving you a formula. So we got 21 hours. All right. How many hours are you working with overtime?
So between that, minimum 50, but it can go upwards to 70.
Do you have to do that? Do you have to? Or can you say no to some of those hours?
No, not in the current work environment I'm in. No is not always an option.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Is it worth replacing this job? Even if you got to stick it out for 2-3 more months, 6 months, whatever, replacing this job to where you're working a 40-hour week job, which will then allow you to do the 21 hours that you need to do easily.
For sure. So
that's how you do it.
That is actually a really tough question that I'm trying to grapple with. Yeah.
Because you're getting paid extra for all those hours. Yes.
Negative. So I'm salary.
Oh my gosh.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Start looking today. It's worth it. Because here's the deal. I don't know if you can do the 21 hours. Now, if you can still work 60, 70 hours and get the 21 hours, then I think you're a strong enough woman to do it. But if not, get out. Hey, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey good folks, this is John, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.